Well, good morning, TNC family, on this final Sunday in November, where today here, I want to talk with you from the scriptures about this Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, a day our taste buds welcome apple, pumpkin, pecan, cherry, blueberry, chocolate pie, turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes, gravy, green beans, corn, cranberry sauce, pickled eggs, and on, which is why this is the week every year where a singular Bible verse comes to my mind in fresh ways, Psalm 34 and verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. And of course, the writer is talking about more than just food. It's the verse in the middle of a larger passage where the psalmist is urging anyone who will listen, listen, everybody, listen. You can experience the goodness of God, the abundance of God, you can taste and see. And even though the Hebrew word for taste here is ta'amu, which is used 11 other times to refer to things you do put in your mouth, the psalmist here, in this case, is using it as a metaphor that extends far beyond your taste buds. He's saying you can know the goodness of God in the universe. You can know God's presence, healing, wisdom, and love pulsating in the air around you, filling your consciousness, part of every breath you take, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're facing, emotionally, physically, financially, relationally, doesn't matter. You can taste and see if you choose, because it will require a choice. This is why the psalmist says in the same passage, I sought after the Lord, and then he answered me. I called out, and then he heard me. I ran to him for refuge, and then he protected me. I listened for his instruction, and then he taught me. In other words, you can taste and see, yes, but it won't just be delivered to you. By DoorDash, Uber Eats, Amazon, another episode. The next trend, tweet, or Tinder photo. You'll have to do some seeking, calling, running, listening, pursuing. So, let's talk about how we can taste and see the goodness of God this Thursday. And you'll notice as we go that I'm using Thursday as a teaching point because you can apply this to Wednesday, this weekend, or your entire way of life. And here's number one, if you want to taste and see the things of God this Thursday, bring your best. Bring your best. Because pumpkin pie won't be good if you use a can of the cheapest pumpkin puree and a can of sweetened condensed milk that you opened last month that's been in your refrigerator and two of the cheapest eggs you can buy, along with sugar and spices that have been in your cupboard on your spice rack for a decade. Oh, and just use the most generic brand of already formed pie crust you can. Maybe with the yellow sticker on the outside because it's only got one more day of freshness. No, if you want to taste and experience the best pumpkin pie on Thursday, then you'll have to go out and gather the greatest ingredients today and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. I was at Taco Mac last Sunday night watching football with some friends, and I noticed under our table, under several tables actually, old straw wrappers, even an old straw, and some french fries, and a few chips, and what looked like even part of a chicken wing under the table. And then for whatever reason, I had this thought about, you know how you can get a doggy bag to take home the good food you didn't finish at a restaurant? Well, I thought, what would it be like if I got a doggy bag of all that stuff on the floor? And then took it home to my family, presented it to them, and said, hey, here, look at this stuff. Smell it, taste it, eat it. I don't know, I'm thinking maybe you're thinking right now, that's disgusting, David. What's wrong with you? But we do the equivalent with information and content. Listen, like in the same way we have all these FDA warnings on food labels and we have food broken down into various nutritional components for how much sugar, how much salt, how much fat. This food is 40% fat, 20% sugar, 10% sodium. Well, if you pay attention to what you are consuming, information and content, what you're consuming on like YouTube, Facebook, X, Instagram, TV, Netflix, come on, it's 50% greed, 40% fear-mongering, 30% lies, 20% hate, and And yet you pour that doggy bag into the bowl of your mind and ingest it. And then you spew all that all over your family and friends. The cynicism, the hate, the negativity, the fear, all that you're ingesting. See, TNC, don't immerse yourself in that if you want to experience something more divine this Thursday. Because I promise you that that content is not going to help you bring your best into the presence of others this Thursday. Rather, it's probably moving you to feel more angry, more concerned, more loaded up with arguments, more confused, and so on. And yet, that's what you're going to bring Thursday if that's the food you're consuming today. Because by beholding, you do become changed. That's right from the scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And Philippians chapter 4. This is why the Apostle Paul says, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Think about those things. Now, why? Why does the Apostle Paul say that? Well, it's because whatever you have going on your inside, whatever you take in, it will come out. I say that on the wisdom of Jesus, Luke chapter 6, on the authority of dozens and dozens of modern scientific experiments as well, who analyze human behavior. The generosity and the joy and the self-control that you have going on your inside will come out. And the greed, anger, and divisiveness you have going on the inside will come out. So your job and mine is to bring your best, to gather the best thoughts in advance of Thursday. And how are you going to do this? Well, start by getting the right amount of sleep and exercise in the days ahead. That's great for your mind and your body. Because if you're feeling tired and blah, you'll bring grumpy and blah thoughts to the feast. And also, please don't only take in social media and streaming media. Instead, read from these scriptures. Because I'll tell you, the Bible is a great way to feed your mind. Read with curiosity. Read with humility, expectancy. Read as if the events happening to these characters could happen to you, and you'll begin to have this mental and physical cupboard full of lovely and wise things that will nourish your heart and your mind and your soul, and then bring that to the feast on Thursday. You want to taste and see that the Lord is good? Then bring your best. Which leads to number two, after you arrive and you've brought your best, then number two, notice what's needed. Because if you do, you'll have the opportunity to taste and see the goodness of God. But you'll have to first notice what's needed. I remember several years ago, probably 5, 6, 7 years ago now, we were planning our big Thanksgiving feast at the church on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and we had sign-up sheets in the lobby, a whole list of items, and underneath each item, we put the exact number of blank lines for people to sign up for items. So, for example, under the words, a dozen dinner rolls, we had 4 lines. We just needed 48 dinner rolls. And under the words, 2 cans of corn, we had 6 lines, because we wanted 12 cans of corn. And under the line, bring your favorite Thanksgiving treat, we had 5 lines. And under the word, pies, we had 8 lines. We wanted 8 pies. Under the word, 14-pound turkey, we had 4 lines. You get the idea. And I'll never forget that after church, everyone had left, and I picked up the sign-up sheet, and we had all 4 lines of dinner rolls filled, but somebody had added a 5th line with their name. Not a problem at all. I'm just saying, we didn't need more dinner rolls. And I did wonder, why didn't they just put their name by one of the empty pie lines, or the empty my favorite Thanksgiving treat line, or empty turkey lines? And of course, I'm not trying to make a point about food now. I'm sure they have their reasons, but I do think it makes this point that in every situation, you have the opportunity to stop and seek first the kingdom of God, to pay attention to what God's agenda might be, and then sign up for that. Because there's always an empty line in need of sign up for, well, inviting not only DNA family, but extending invites to friends and neighbors who are part of your spiritual family. And there's an empty line in need of sign up under noticing that that conversation needs someone to speak up, or noticing that someone needs to ask a thoughtful question and then just be quiet. Listen, really listen to somebody else's ideas. And there's always an empty line under acknowledging the presence of Almighty God, taking a step of surrender and obedience to His wisdom, being grateful for His benefits, humbly praying for His protection and favor. And there's always an empty line for seeing where generosity could be used and forgiveness is needed, and giving someone the benefit of the doubt would be helpful, and servanthood would be appreciated, and surrender would be awesome. You want to taste and see that the Lord is good this Thursday? Seek first the kingdom of God. Watch for it, because it will be wherever you are if you look for it. First, bring your best. Second, notice what's needed. And then you'll be ready for number three. How can we taste and see the goodness of God this Thursday? Walk into that situation you've noticed and then communicate with kindness. That's number three, communicate with kindness. There's a great book by Tom Peters called The Little Big Things. It's a fitting title because it's a big book, over 500 pages, with 163 chapters. So they're really tiny chapters, The Little Big Things. Each chapter is about how little things matter, a lot. Peters was born in 1942. He was deployed twice to Vietnam with the Navy during the war. Later, he worked at the Pentagon, then as a business consultant in the private sector. He's an author and a speaker. Chapter 27 is called Kindness is Free. Kindness is Free, in which he writes, among other things, about feedback from hospital patients' evaluations of the hospital after a hospital stay. And he writes, "You'd think that getting well was at the heart of the matter, the alpha and omega, not to mention the gamma and the deltas of their feedback. But if you think that, you'd be wrong," he writes. Turns out, when reviewing the feedback of 139,380 former patients at 225 hospitals on that topic, researchers collected all this data, and then they reviewed the five most powerful determinants of the patient's reaction to his or her experience, and the winner is not a single one of the top 15 sources of a patient's satisfaction had to do with the patient's health outcome. All 15 were related to the quality of the patient's interactions with hospital staff. Peters goes on to quote P.M. Forney, the professor of Italian literature at Johns Hopkins University, who writes, quote, "For many years, literature was my way of life. One day while lecturing on the Divine Comedy, I looked at my students and realized that I wanted them to be kind human beings more than I wanted them to know about Dante. I told them that if they knew everything about Dante, and then they went out and treated an elderly lady on the bus unkindly, I'd feel that I had failed as their teacher." That's so similar to Paul's famous words that I quote here a lot, TNC, from 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul says, "Look, you can speak in the language of great humans or divine angels, but if you don't have love, you're only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You can explain why the election went the way it did. You can talk about why the stock market and the international wars are going the way they are going, and why this needs to happen in our country, or why that needs to stop happening in our culture. You can have a faith that can move mountains, but if you do not love, you're nothing." This is why if you want to taste and see divine things this week, this Thursday, then you'll need to be kind. You won't need to be right. You'll need to be kind. Proverbs 15, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Matthew 20, the first shall be last. Verse 26, whoever wants to be great, you must be the servant of all. Acts 20, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Ephesians 4, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as Christ has forgiven you. TNC, be kind. Just do that. Just be kind in every encounter, and you'll have the opportunity to taste and to see that the Lord is good. And then finally, how can you taste and see the goodness of God this Thursday? Number four, depart in peace. First, bring your best. Second, notice what's needed. Third, communicate with kindness. And number four, this Thursday, depart in peace. And this is not leave with a piece of pie for later. This is depart in the peace of Christ, which is literally how you're going to say goodbye, how you're going to leave the people you are with to go to the places you're going to go. how you're going to end the phone conversations you have, and so on, because it matters how you leave, because you can leave in peace or in anxiety, in community or in conflict, in joy or in judgment. And we live in a world that's filled with anxiety, conflict, and judgment. But Jesus says, no, you can live and move in peace. This is the main reason why that phrase, go in peace, go in peace, it is a phrase that the Bible uses over and over and over. I think of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. Or Romans 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Or John chapter 14, verse 27. These are the words of Jesus. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And so TNC, depart in peace this Thursday. Don't leave your conversations and your situations with judgment or anger or grudges or hurt feelings. Leave with hugs and thanks. Leave with a blessing of peace. And if you do, you will find yourself recognizing the goodness of the kingdom of God, where you feel connection and common humanity and joy and love. And you'll find yourself moving in step with the pattern of Jesus too. Blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God, he said. So, you want to taste and see the goodness of God this week? Bring your best. Notice what's needed. Communicate with kindness. Depart in peace. Let's pray. God, I pray now for every person listening. I pray for all the ingredients in their life right now. Family responsibilities, work roles, hopes, dreams, worries, physical pain, loneliness, fear, ideas, strengths, gifts. I pray for all of that. And now I pray a prayer of surrender surrounding all of that. God, we surrender these things to you. Will you fill them with your wisdom and joy and presence and perspective? May we know the goodness of God in the universe. Your presence, healing, wisdom, and love pulsating in the air, filling our consciousness, part of every breath that we take this week. Now, TNC, I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you, would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, would turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.